This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Christine.
Christine, how are you doing this week? Sorry, my dog was staring at me in a menacing way, so I was distracted. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. I also got distracted by that car outside honking.
Yeah, well, that's my mom. She's here to pick me up.
It's time to go.
Curfew's
calling.
You were saying right before we started that you had problems with the homework I gave you this week.
Yeah, I was a little distressed with the timing of the homework.
So I sent you two videos to watch, but here's what I think is strange. This week's episode is about archery. You probably saw that in the title.
Look out.
Look out.
Yeah, we're going to talk about archery.
We're not going to be doing archery at people.
We're not. I thought this was interactive 3D podcast.
Have you ever listened to a podcast?
No.
I should have asked you that before I asked you to step in for Tim.
Prerequisite, but no, I've never listened to a podcast. It's
probably for the best.
Never even heard of a podcast.
I was looking up archery videos, and you hear about things with like algorithms and ads and you get creeped out like, oh, our phones are listening to us.
Yeah, I've heard about it and I've experienced it.
Yeah. And it's not that our phones are the phone listening to you is actually like a very ineffective way for them to spy on you. They have much, much better ways. And I think this is one of them. When I search for archery videos, you know what came up recommended that I watch after that?
What?
An old Dolly Parton interview.
That's really, yeah. I've lost my words.
Right?
Yeah.
That it was like, oh, archery is something you've done with Christine and Christine likes Dolly Parton.
I think that might be so associative.
I mean, I've never gotten, a recommended Dolly Parton video clip on anything I've searched. And I watch so much YouTube all the time.
Yeah, that's all you do all day, yeah. I think. What Dolly Parton thing did it want you to watch? Was it Light of a Clear Blue Morning by any chance?
No, it was a video where it was like Dolly Parton. It looked like maybe it was from the 80s. And it was like Dolly Parton shuts down a sexist interviewer.
Man, is she the best or what?
I don't know. I didn't watch
the clip because
I didn't want to get further pushed into algorithm.
Yeah, my algorithm is a real hoot. I
didn't want to get radicalized.
I feel like this is very exciting to me.
Very exciting that the Google Corporation knows enough about both of us that it's like, if he's looking for archery, he's probably going to be talking to Christine about it. So
that's not how I like to look at it. That feels very surveillance state to me. What I like to think is that I have a lot of prominent interests, and I always love when Dolly Parton gets pushed on anybody.
Yeah.
And I was going to say 80s is peak Dolly, but so is 70s, so is 60s, so is 50s, so is 90s, so is today.
Yeah.
And I know today there's two decades in what I didn't mention.
Today.
But like it's still 2004 in my heart.
Yeah. Also, I don't think we mentioned that part of the way I got you to do this podcast was by bribing you with a Dolly Parton biography that I found.
Which I look at every day. I put it in a very prominent place in my home and I'm using it as a carrot. I have like three books I need to finish before I start reading it.
I was actually, you were very like, oh my God, like this book's hard to find. And then I looked it up afterwards. It is hard to
find.
It's hard
to find.
I shouldn't have given it to you. I should have sold it on eBay.
You could have charged me for it. But now that I have it, I won't pay.
To buy that book used online is like $15 for a mass market paperback.
Exactly. Which makes it seem like as much as I love Dolly, I would spend $15 for something special, but it's not always available. It's really hard to find.
And there's like an old mass market paperback. Like,
it has photos in the middle.
Yeah.
The copy
nice
you gave me is
full
much
color
loved
photos in the middle, which you don't find in every book.
I actually think they're black and white, aren't they?
Oh, are they? I don't know.
I can't remember. I haven't read it. Yet.
Maybe they're one or the other, and that's worth even more money. I should be kicking myself in the ass even harder.
Well, if it's worth $15, I'll give you $10. I was annoyed that you gave me homework in the middle of a work
that's
day.
What I meant to talk about.
Yeah.
I gave you homework. I was like, here's two videos I think you should watch.
One was if 9.5 minutes.
9.5 minutes.
Yeah, but you don't know how seriously I take homework. Do you know once I went home sick because the homework was unassigned after I did it when I was in eighth grade?
Wait, what? It was so you had done it and then they didn't call it, so you went home?
I mean, that's a way of summarizing it, but I'll tell it my way, which is that my math teacher was a real hard ass, I think. Mm-hmm. She'd quit being a nun. People were scared of her. She gave me 4 out of my 8 detentions I ever got.
Wow.
I'm a bad kid. Well, 4 I got for one incident.
Wow.
separate from math class. And she assigned homework one day. Mm-hmm. And I'm a deadline-driven person, and I take my assignment seriously, which is why I was like, Tom, you couldn't have given me 24 hours. And this teacher, this math teacher, assigned this homework, and I feel like I skipped dinner and stayed up late to do it. I don't know if that's exactly true, but that's my memory of it. Got it done, worked my tail off to complete the assignment as assigned. And then the next day in math class, she announced, I've heard from some other classes and from some of you, this homework took too long, so it's due actually on Monday. You have more time to do it. And I reacted with such an anxious and angry, like...
Did you flip a desk?
Yeah, I think something like with the
but
actual...
But the desk was connected to the chair, so you just fell over.
Well, that reminds me of the time my Spanish teacher broke her foot because she was so mad she threw a desk on her own foot.
Wow, that must have made her even more mad.
It did. I mean, it was horrible. It was really horrible. And then a time a teacher broke a tile on the floor to show us gravity with a shot put. I'm from a weird town. But the point is, I reacted so strongly to the fact that, like, I did all this work and now it's not even due. And I was spiraling of, like, all this effort for nothing.
Yeah.
That I physically felt sick and I couldn't untangle my physical reaction.
I get that. That's like a bad, like, when you... put
like
yourself
regret
through something hard and then you realize you didn't have to.
It was for nothing.
Yeah, I get very mad in those situations.
I got so mad it really became physical, and I went to the nurse's office and my mom wasn't home, so my like teenage brother came and got me, and
that
he was like,
that was a possibility.
In hindsight, as I retell it, it seems a little fishy, right? He was like a teen. He was no longer in high school teen.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't a guardian,
like,
but he was like
19?
18 or 19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, home from college or something. And he picked me up and was like, it just sounds like you got mad. And as soon as I got home.
The way you said he was a no longer in high school teen made it sound like he was a high school dropout.
Yeah, he wasn't.
You could have just said,
but he didn't.
He had graduated already, but instead
he was a no longer
in high school teen.
Well, yeah, I like to make things a little more complicated than they are, which is why I made myself sick from worry and stress.
Yeah, that all checks out.
Yeah. So anyway, I did make time to watch those videos on my phone, and I'm, you know, eager to talk about the content.
Well, we're not going to be talking about those videos today.
I have to go. Can someone call my brother?
You can go to the nurse's station in my apartment.
I wouldn't be surprised if your building had a nurse's station.
I mean, I have a pretty nice first aid kit, to be honest with you.
Do you think that would help my rage? What would help my rage? Do you have Neosporin?
Yeah, there's like Neosporin and like butterfly bandages.
Oh, nice.
Some gauze.
I love gauze.
Some of those instant cold packs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What about bug spray?
I don't think there's bug spray.
That's sort of
a weird thing to put in a first aid kit. I have two. I'm just remembering I have one in my car too.
Wow. Burn cream?
always prepared. I don't think I have burn cream in there. I just try not to get burned.
I try not to get burned too, but that doesn't mean I've never been burned.
Yeah. That, you know what? Same here. I've also tried not to get burned, but sometimes it happens.
Sometimes you get burned. Agree or disagree. Burns hurt.
Yeah. I touched a hot tea kettle yesterday.
Just yesterday.
And my girlfriend thought there was a cat in the apartment based on the sound I made.
Can you do a reenactment by any
chance? It was kind of like this, like, yeah. It was like not a real.
And it was guttural. It came from a real deep place in the body.
It didn't, I don't know. It was like very, very short. Like,
right.
But incredibly intense. Like, yes. I didn't actually get a burn from it.
Right. But it just
was so
bad.
Intense. It was like, so wowie kazowie. I don't know what to do with all this immediate pain I'm experiencing.
And it's so sharp. It's so bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on Thanksgiving Eve.
I know.
Which is makes us real troopers. Which
and
is
heroes?
Which is why I'm not going to give you the quiz about the videos I saw.
I would pass the quiz. I don't know if I'd like get an A.
But let me ask you this Thanksgiving related question. What is your favorite side?
Well, as a vegetarian, mm-hmm. am I allowed to say I'm a vegetarian?
You're allowed to, yeah. I'll bleep it out later.
Okay. As a bleep, sides are kind of my jam, pun noted, because I think my actual side is cranberry
sauce.
It's
just jam.
just a spoonful of jam.
Just strawberry marmalade. That's all I need.
I love a compote. No, I don't know if I have to think about it more.
Cranberry sauce?
Cranberry sauce is delicious, especially like where the mashed potatoes meet the cranberry sauce. Yeah. Uh-huh. Give me a forkful of that all day.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cheat answer because it's a combo. But what's yours?
Mine? Actually, my mom makes these creamed onions.
Yum.
Like little pearl onions.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
What's,
I like those.
What else is in there? Some spices? Some herbs?
Yeah, it's like almost like a soup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like very creamy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some spices, sure. Cream, onions.
You're mentioning cream kind of a lot. But that sounds great. I love onions. I'm kind of obsessed with onions. What's your favorite maker model of onion?
Did you know that, maker model? I don't know. I'll take onions anyway I can get.
Shallots for me. I'll take them anyway, too.
Me and Tim used to talk about how much we loved onions on the show.
Did someone mail you a palette of onions?
We've
I hope
both
so.
Been, one of the few things we agree on is that onion should be a more standard pizza topping.
Yeah, they're so good on pizza.
It's like one of the best things you can put on
it's
a pizza.
So much better than olives or mushrooms. And I like olives or mushrooms, but on a pizza, it's slime city.
Yeah, I don't like olives. I like I like mushrooms. But like, it's also like a complimentary. Mm-hmm. Like my favorite type of pizza probably is pepperoni and onions. Mm-hmm. Like you can, but I also love mushroom and onions. Mm-hmm. Like you can mix and match onions.
Onions are invited to every pizza party.
Yeah.
And really every party.
Yeah.
I love onions. I actually love onions.
But me and Tim, mm-hmm. I think we were talking a bunch about how like, remember they would do those experiments. I mean, I don't know where they did them on TV, I guess, where they just like, blindfold somebody and then put a clothes pin on their nose.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
And then,
you were moving your hand, I thought this was going to get a lot grosser.
And then, be like, here's an apple, but it was actually an onion, and they would have them eat it and they'd be like, oh yeah, it tastes great. And then they'd be like, psych, it's an onion. Well, me and Tim were both like, they always acted like that was the worst thing on earth.
No, I'd eat an onion.
Yeah. Well, so me and Tim said that. And then this one time we were doing a show in London, this guy brought shallots for us to eat. And we ate them. And everybody was shocked. And we were eating them like, after we proved it, we were then like absentmindedly both
just
still
finishing
eating
them.
Eating these shallots in a bar.
Having a nice snack at a bar.
And probably so many people like that were at that bar not related to our show were like, man, Americans are fucking weird.
And they're right.
These guys just brought onions to a bar. They're yelling everything they're saying, being incredibly rude.
Right. Bunch of Americans probably brought pizza in your pockets. That
I
seems
wish.
To be American.
A pocket pizza? I'd go anywhere for that. Even London. Even London, England.
Yeah, that seems like a real sacrifice to go to London for some pizza in your
pocket.
I think
it's a pretty good pizza in London. I'll give them that.
What's you like a flatbread or a deep dish or a...
I'll gooey. Take anything I can get.
I don't prefer a flat. Personally. No, it's too often like burnt. That. It's too you often know, burnt. I like the a taste deep of dish, stuff.
But then it's too much sometimes.
Yeah, one slice is like a whole meal.
Me and Tim also went to. Sorry, I keep talking about.
You must
Tim.
Really miss Tim. I know this is week whatever for me. Too many, right?
We were in Chicago doing shows and we got deep dish pizza and oh God.
Yeah, Chicago's famous for their deep dish pizza. And similarly, one of the last times or the last time I was in Chicago, right before our flight, we were like, let's get a famous deep dish pizza. And it was like we ordered too much. And then it was like we felt like dead people.
Yeah. It's also one of those things where I don't even remember the place we got it from. But same. One of those like don't tell anyone where you got it from because 90% chance they're gonna be like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you should gotta have gone the other one.
Go to this place 15 miles away on the other side of Chicago. Right.
With a car they don't have because you don't live there.
Yeah. I got two different deep dish pizzas. And
did you go with onions?
I think I did.
Good.
Yeah, I think I got pepperoni and onions.
You know, I like controversial, but I like pineapple on pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, people that are like, ew, they go to hell.
Yeah, it's like, get a life.
Yeah.
If you're so mad about it, maybe you don't have enough strife in your life, actually.
Yeah, and you should get some.
Get some
Somebody
hard...
should do something to you.
I'm not sure that's what I'm saying.
Somebody should teach you a goddamn lesson.
Yeah. An eggplant on
no,
pizza.
No, it's gross.
You know, back to Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. there's a like winter vegetable medley my mom has made in years past.
A lot of root vegetables.
A lot of root vegetables with also
hearty vegetables.
Yeah, and man, is that good. I would have a plate of that right now if I could.
Why not?
Well, then I'd have to make it and I don't want to.
Oh, I see.
And I'm not seeing my family this Thanksgiving. Thanks for bringing it up.
Not invited?
They're having it without me.
Well, Christine, we're not here. By the time people listen to this,
old
Thanksgiving
news.
Will be a distant memory.
Yep.
Even Black Friday itself will be a distant memory.
Fading in the rearview mirror, in the cracked rearview. That's a Hootie and the Blowfish reference.
We're here this week to talk about archery. Mm-hmm. As previously alluded to, I think probably the thing the two of us have done hanging out solo the most.
Yeah, besides this recurring
event.
Yeah,
actually, maybe now
we
this
might be
is tied.
Tied.
We've done archery together, what, maybe three or four times?
Three or four times is what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't
more than twice
exactly.
for sure, but I don't think as many as five, but it gets a little hazy in between.
Let's say four times.
I think it's four. I think it's four as well.
Because I think we did it in two different places at least. What is it about archery that just speaks to you? Besides, of course, that Gina Davis is
which I didn't even know till I'd done it two or three times. To be honest,
no, that's a lie. You just want to be like, oh, I guess I'm more like Gina Davis than I thought.
No, I'm very excited about all the ways that I'm like Gina Davis. She's so great. However. Mm-hmm. What I like, it's a question I'm not even sure how to answer. What I like most about archery is
I recently watched Beetlejuice.
Oh my God, Beetlejuice is the best.
Yeah, and she's so good in that.
She's so good in that. Catherine O'Hara is so good in that.
Everybody's so good in it.
Winona Ryder, everybody.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin was good looking.
Yeah, he was. That lady with the slit throat.
Yeah.
The receptionist.
Yeah, she was
right?
great.
She's great. No,
anyway.
Am I mixing up my dead people?
No.
There's a slit throat and a hole in the throat, right?
Yeah, there's somebody with a slit throat, and then there's somebody who, yeah, I think she has a slit throat and she smokes and it comes out through.
Yeah,
the hole.
Yeah.
She's like their case worker.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Anyway, what were you saying about
thanks for taking it back to what I like about archery, which I know is people are at the edge of their seat. And now I'll tell you what I like best about archery, I think, is that it's sort of like a casual sport that isn't very like running and jumping, which I hate about sports when I'm trying to play them.
Uh-huh.
But it's precision. And
it's like more of a sport, like, you know, people say chess is a sport, but it's like, chess is a game.
It's much more physical than chess.
Exactly.
Archery.
It still requires physical exertion, but,
not a whole lot. Like and squinting, which I like.
Bowling level of
it's actually, I think,
exertion.
Less.
Yeah, probably even
activity
less.
Than, but it's funny that you say that because when I was thinking about archery this week, I was like, I kind of want to go bowling. Why do I keep thinking about bowling? And I think I kind of equate the amount of fun I have bowling with the amount of fun I have doing archery. But I think I like archery. Well, and
it's also similar, I think, in a way where you're competing against other people, but not really.
Right, right. It's like sort of individualized, it's but
not
social.
A zero sum game.
Yeah, and it's weaponry, but it doesn't feel like it's not violent.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel dangerous.
No. Unless you like walk to get your arrows at the wrong time.
Right. As long as everybody's following all the rules.
Right, right, right. Which is also something I like about games.
Like, have you ever been target shooting with guns?
No. The closest I've done was in a backyard with a shotgun at like skeet shooting.
At like a man. And a man rang away.
At a person who was on my property. No. I thought I'd never shoot a gun.
Yeah.
But then I did.
But then this man came on your property no, and he made you do it.
No, I can't even. I don't know where to go on that. But I did love. I was shocked at how much I loved shooting a shotgun.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of fun. But, and like.
As a pacifist. Am I allowed to say I'm a pacifist?
But that's another thing where as long as you're following the rules, mm-hmm. it's very safe. But right. then, but still, when you've got that gun in your hand, at least me, and maybe I won't be allowed in any target ranges after this, but you still think like, oh, I could just shoot somebody with this.
Jeez Louise.
So you still have like, you're still worried about a nutcase a little bit at like a target range.
Yeah. I didn't feel nervous about nutcases besides you anytime we went to do archery together. Yeah.
Well, but I think archery too, like the chance of like an accidental discharge or like.
Or honestly, the harm of it, because I also think that when we were watching, when I was doing the homework and watching the videos about archery, some of the blades at the tip of the arrows were like really sharp. And I think when we've done archery, we've been given the sort of like Brooklyn dulled down version of like, it will go into a target, no problem.
Right. But this but isn't if it, like it wouldn't a hunting kill you. Arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's meant to
it
like.
It might be like, ow, that really hurt. Yeah. But
it might still get stuck in you, yes, but not, it won't go through you.
It's not
you.
Lethal. Right. Yeah. Most likely. I mean, if it got you maybe right in the exact right spot, it might be lethal, but we didn't try, thank goodness.
No. Now, most of these were Groupons that we did.
I think so. Yeah. I think maybe exclusively, because I think we did it two locations, but all through the same Groupon adjacent vendor.
Yeah.
The best one was the time we got free beer. Do you remember that?
No. Wait, when?
That time we did
afterwards?
It. Yeah. And it was
I mean, I guess it makes sense if you have to. Yeah,
for the safety reasons you were just mentioning. But it was like a sponsored, maybe this one wasn't Groupon, but it was like sponsored. So there was like a photo thing. And then the bar next door was like, take your photo of yourself doing archery and get a free cider or something.
Yeah, it was something not great. I feel
maybe
like
we got a koozie, or some people call them cozies.
Yeah, we did get a koozie. Yeah, it was for, I remember this now. It was for a cider. And like, I'm not a big cider head.
I don't mind cider. And this one wasn't even that sweet, which I do. I like my cider a little sharper. But I remember the brand too, but I don't think I've ever had it since.
There was a cider bar near me for a bit. And it was like a really nice bar inside. And I would always go there thinking like, yeah, they got to have some beers, and they never did.
Cider only. That feels like, I don't think I've even ever had heartburn, but it feels like Heartburn City.
Well, and I remember going there with a friend that lived nearby, and like, we really liked the place, but it was, you couldn't have more than two ciders before you're going, I'm going to get a vicious hangover from all this sugar.
Sweet. I just had a thought. Mm-hmm. Do you think the cider archery connection was because of William Tell and the apple?
Hey, it might have been.
Did you think of it at the time?
I mean, what
fruit? Why didn't you say it? If you thought it at the time, why are you waiting until I brought it up?
No, I probably mentioned it a bunch. Because what?
You did. I think I would remember.
What fruit is more closely associated with archery than the old apple?
The banana. Come on.
I mean, a banana kind of looks like a bow. Yeah. So you put a string on a banana.
Yeah, you
got. I mean, I don't think it would make for a very good bow, but
like a lot of range.
Yeah. I was reading about the different types of archers.
Yeah.
So there's archer or a bowman. Mm-hmm. That would be somebody like us. But then there's a marksman or a toxophilite.
What does that mean, toxophilite?
That's somebody who's fond of or an expert at archery. But I would say we're both fond
of it. I'm fond of it. I'm a toxophilite.
So maybe we're both toxophilites.
I can't believe we just found out. You know, technically, I'm an archeress. Did you read that too?
Oh, no.
That like a girl archer is called an archeress, which
like
of course
mistress?
I hate it. Yeah. Kind of like
or
a mistress
comedian.
Of archery. Yeah. I hate it. Why can't you just be an archer?
I mean, it sounds like you could be, but.
Well, I'm a toxophilite. I forget the word.
Do you remember the time we went and did archery and they didn't have any bows long enough for me? Or was it bows or arrows?
It was the arrows. Yeah. I think they gave you regular sized arrows. I think you and I both were freaks, right? Because my arms are so short and your arms are so long that they were like, oh, if this were a, if we had more stuff,
we had only prepared for normal people to come and do archery today.
Yeah.
So the instructor.
We're like Jack Spratt and his wife, except for archery.
Who's Jack Spratt?
Could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. It's very rude. And but betwixt the both
Wait,
of them, they
and
leave
are
the
these
platter clean.
Are
Have
these
you never
real
heard that?
People?
It's a nursery rhyme, you maniac.
I've never heard this.
Jack Spratt could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. But betwixt the both of them, they licked the platter clean. Or it's a tongue twister. I don't know
yeah,
what it is.
I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from that.
Love takes all kinds.
All right. I don't think that's what you're supposed to take away from that.
I think so.
But the really instructor gave me her arrows.
Oh,
and
right.
They were like
fancy.
Purple or pink.
Yeah.
But,
did that threaten your masculinity?
Well, I was going
to
say, did that make me an archeress in that moment?
God, I don't think it changed like anything fundamental.
But I could also tell that she was kind of like, eh, I like kind of don't want to give this guy my expensive arrows.
She could tell you were a real amateur.
No, she could tell. That was the same woman who was like, oh, you've done this before.
Can you hear me rolling my eyes, everybody?
And I was like, no, I haven't. Or maybe at that point I had done it like once before. But she was like, oh, you're pretending you don't know how to do this. Like, obviously, you're a toxophilite.
I don't remember her saying that.
I do remember because I was wondering where I had heard this word before. And then now
she's
I'm
like,
remembering
really
this woman accused
of
me of being a toxophilite.
I bet she was a toxophilite.
I'm sure she was.
I don't think it's toxio. Read it again.
It's T-O-X-O.
Toxo.
P-H-I-L-I-T-E. Toxophilite.
Toxophilite. Toxophilite.
Toxophilite.
The problem
marksman.
With me is when you spell... yeah, exactly.
She was
when
like,
you
you're
spell
a real
words
marksman.
At me, I just see the alphabet swirling in soup.
I mean, by that point when she had said that, I had shot four arrows and each one had split the arrow before it.
That's
in
not
the bullseye.
True. That's not true. You were sort of surprisingly good at archery.
Uh-huh.
I will acknowledge that on the record. But you weren't splitting her fancy arrows one after the other, and then she gave you a compliment about what a good toxophilite you were.
Here's the things that I'm
You're
very good at.
Wrong. Okay, let's hear them, all of them.
Not all of them, but...
An exhaustive list.
Very good at claw machines.
You are very good at claw machines. I don't know if I've ever seen it IRL, but I've heard this for years, so I verify it.
I have very good aim, I think, and I'm very good at shooting things.
That's terrible. Were you good at axe throwing?
No,
I was
awful
so
at
bad
throwing.
At axe throwing. And
yeah, if,
I was
it,
a bad
if it's
sport
something
about it.
Target related that requires like too much coordination, I can't do it.
But a little bit of coordination.
Yeah, but like a bow and arrow or a gun, like a rifle at least. I've
what
never
about
shot
those?
A handgun, but.
I've never shot a handgun either, and I wouldn't watch
Actually,
them,
I wasn't
I
that. Yeah, I wasn't that good at a shotgun either. I'm really just good with a rifle.
I was good with a shotgun. The expert that was showing me and my friend how to do it was like, "Wow!" And I was like, "Wow, I love
this." They were like, "You're a toxophilite
for guns.
For gun, you're a gunophilite."
I don't want to be a gunophilite. Tom, what about the carnival game where you... I have two carnival game related questions.
Okay, yes.
The dart at the balloon.
I don't really play.
What about bar darts?
Bar darts? I'm not a big dart person.
I don't like darts. Yeah. I want to like darts, but I've never liked darts.
Yeah.
And then my other carnival game related question is shoot the water in the clown's mouth.
Yeah. That I'm okay at. You know what I am very good at?
Whack-a-mole.
When it comes to carnival games, the throw a softball in the barrel and get it to stay in the barrel.
You've got just the right balance of like aim and soft
I have very
soft
long
throw.
Arms.
Oh, so and you just drop it in?
Well, I just reach over and put it in. No, there's like a trick to it where you basically just have to put your arm over the stop, you know, the barricade, I guess, like the barrier.
You cheat.
No, you're allowed to put your arm over it because what you have to do is get your arm like as low as you can and basically throw the ball like at as high of an angle as you can. Because with those games, what it is the barrel is pushed out and it's tilted. So they pop out. So you have to like, as best you can, kind of like drop the ball in there.
Right.
And you can do that by throwing it up in the air. Low and high, and then it just falls into the barrel.
From low to get high.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Because if you throw it low and high, you're just throwing it level because you're averaging it out.
No, you're getting from your arm low, but then
to throw the ball high.
Like a high arc.
The arc has to be high. An arc is the center of archery, isn't it?
Sure. I just know when I learned how to do this and I did it for the first time, I was like I was winning so much stuff at a carnival that I was like, all right, I don't want any of this stuff.
You are reminding me of me when, you know what I was really good at? It's not exactly a carnival game. It's like a fundraiser game.
I was also afraid that some carnies were going to take me in the bag and beat the shit out of me.
Once a carny gave me his phone number when I was like 11 years old.
Oh,
living up to God. The reputation of carnies, everybody. I don't
was
know if
he 12 though? Was
exactly.
he like a runaway?
I'm sure he was a runaway, but he was definitely older than 12. The cakewalk.
How did a carny even have a phone? I mean, this is before cell phones.
It was before cell phones.
And here's my number. Call me between February 19th and the 23rd.
Maybe it was the ringmaster's phone number.
You
is
think
there
the
such a thing as a ringmaster?
Is like home more often?
I think maybe they have a home office, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well,
it didn't work out
just
with
like,
him
look,
for
this
obvious
is,
reasons.
You weren't looking for a serious relationship at 11 years old.
I might have been 13. But and teen approaching though I was like, this is inappropriate and gross and I want my mom to come pick me up. Is that her honking? Tom, a cakewalk.
Yes.
I was so good at winning a cakewalk, which is just random. It's when the music stops and then they pull a number. So it's really randomized. But
that's
there were
like
2 years I was so good
thing.
At. Well, actually, the first time I ever won a cakewalk, I cried. Similar to the homework situation. I couldn't handle disappointment
because
of attention.
Because you were so happy?
No, I was like, I don't know what to do now. And
everyone's paying
attention to me. I was really little. But then there were 2 years in a row a few years later.
Too young to even date a carny?
I still am. I still am. And but when you're... a friend's mom put in an order for a pineapple upside down cake because like that's how much I was winning the cakewalk.
Wait, what the hell does that mean? She put in an order.
She was like, go, I'm going to pay for you to play the cakewalk again. And then when you win, which you invariably will because you keep winning cakes, I want the pineapple upside down cake, another tongue twister.
Oh, so she was like paying for your entry into this, huh?
Which is like cheating a little, but not really
because
it was, I don't know, it was for the PTO of my elementary school, which I was in at the time. Not the PTO, the elementary school.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boop.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
The getting
but
drained.
I had to do the going up to
you,
show you the going
you gotta
down.
Go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do,
but
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin or just not know kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for you.
You want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/complete guide.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Christina, do you know that, well, not all archery, but this seems like something you'd be into.
Okay, archery, Dolly Parton.
Archery that involves like trick shots, like William Tell style, shooting an arrow off somebody's head. Mm-hmm. Part of what is referred to as the impalement arts.
The impalement arts.
Yes.
Okay.
It includes, I don't think it includes sword swallowing, but I think that depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, to me, it's adjacent, if not in the same neighborhood.
But it's archery, knife throwing.
Yep.
And of course, that includes axe throwing, other sharp implements.
Knife throwing around someone is, do you know what I mean? Like to get the knives in around them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, I think. Is cool.
One time, I've told this story on the show, but when
I don't listen to the show.
I know you don't. When I was a kid, my family went to a Renaissance fair.
I've still never been.
Oh, man. We should all go.
We should all go.
They're fun. I mean, they're full of weird people, but that's what makes it so much fun. No, I won't fit right in. They'll be like, why is somebody so cool here?
Will you be in your jester's outfit?
I'll be in my king's outfit.
Anyway,
long red velvet robes.
That's what you're wearing right now.
Exactly. So I'm going to wear it to the Renaissance fair. I thought my family was going to get kicked out of the Renaissance Festival because in short succession at the carnival games, I threw a ninja star at the man running the ninja star booth.
Why?
By accident. Luckily, he was dressed like a monk. So he, like a Franciscan monk, so he had like big robes on, so it didn't stick.
So he was
stick.
Protected?
No. And my dad was doing axe throwing and similarly, like, didn't have a firm, like, you know, didn't have the method down yet.
Had you all been eating those turkey legs so your fingers were all slippery?
No, he was strong and he threw it so hard, but like released too early and it just went like flying into the woods like, behind the stand.
That's honestly on the Renaissance Fair. They should have had
through the sign. It smashed through the sign and landed somewhere in the woods.
Are you sure you're remembering that right?
I swear to God.
Because how did it keep having momentum after?
Because
what
it was
kind
like
of sign?
Very...
A wooden sign?
Yeah, but it was like very cheap. It was like,
plywood
or something.
It was like one of those fake karate chop stacks of wood kind of wood.
Maybe something like that. But it went through it and kept going. And I don't know. Maybe that axe is still in the woods. But these happened like literally back to back. And it was... And we're... I just remember my dad being like, all right,
we can't do these games anymore. Yeah. We're too strong for these games. We're too violent for these games.
Me and my boy are too strong for these games.
Classic. That's classic.
No, because all I knew about Ninja Stars was from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's all I still know about them.
And I just kind of threw it like a Frisbee, so it just went sideways.
Yeah, you weren't really aiming, and look what happened. Yeah, I didn't know he could have been killed. What would you have done?
Given like a 10-year-old kid Ninja Stars.
Well, that's also their fault. I feel like in both of those cases, they had liabilities all over the place. Now, what do you think your life would have been like if you had actually killed a man with a Ninja Star at age 10? Yeah. Do you think you would have been racked with
Hopefully
guilt?
I would have forgotten about it by now.
That does seem like Hopefully the kind of thing that's like...
Somebody would have come along and been like, ah, he's just a guy working at Renaissance Fair. It's fine.
He has all these like young girls' phone numbers.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of overlap.
This guy's on a lot of lists. You did the state of New York a favor. You're going to save us a lot prosecution fees. But also knife throwing, the axe throwing.
Impalement arts.
Mm-hmm. Archery.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Sharpshooting, of course.
Okay.
Well,
sharpshooting gives me the shiver.
Oh yeah, I mean it's like way more dangerous, but in the same like somebody holding a balloon and it getting shot or something.
Yeah.
But then also whips.
Whips.
Yeah.
The precision, the fine art of
when
whip
like
handling.
Somebody puts
what about
like
a
cigarette in their mouth and it gets whipped
snap.
Out. Yeah.
What did I say that too loud? Snap.
Not lassoing.
Why do you think whips but not lassoes?
Because
are we saying that right? Lassoes?
I think because even though a whip isn't a tool of impalement, it's still dangerous. And I think the impalement arts require an
Some
element
of
danger.
Danger. That, and all you can really do is like hog tie somebody with a lasso.
Yeah.
Lasso?
I mean, yeah, lasso.
We don't know.
Although I recently found out, and it makes a lot of sense, you remember Back to the Future 3?
Of course I do.
When they lasso Marty McFly.
Yeah, because he was being a yellow-bellied chicken.
Yeah, and then they like hang him up, like they're going to hang him. Apparently, like whatever they had set up failed and they were actually hanging him. And I just remember as a kid always watching that scene and being like, Jesus, it looks like he's turning purple. Like,
yikes.
It looks like he's actually.
And apparently that was the case. He was like really not able to breathe.
Yeah. And like Robert Zemeckis realized and was because they like pulled him up on it. It wasn't like a trap door. Mm-hmm. And like Robert Zemeckis realized and was like, oh, cut.
American treasure. Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah.
He's losing his.
And also I guess that was after Family Ties when they were like working him to death doing Family Ties and Back to the Future at the same time. And he was just
what a life.
Awake 24 hours a day.
Playing all these beloved characters. Well, I mean, Alex P. Keaton, was he beloved? Family Ties was beloved. He was a real pain in the neck, right?
Yeah. It's kind of funny that Alex P. Keaton hasn't become like a conservative icon because that was his whole thing. He was like a conservative in a liberal family.
Right. He was the sort of rebellious teen.
Yeah. Who was like wearing a shirt and tie mm-hmm. all the time. But mm-hmm. you don't hear about him as a character anymore. But yeah.
I hear about him in my circles.
Yeah. But I mean, he was great on that show. Got him Back to the Future.
What's your favorite Back to the Future?
All of them.
Okay. Mine's two.
My gun to my head, it probably is two.
Yeah.
But I like three a lot more than most people do.
Yeah, it feels like the worst to me, but there's cool parts about it. I don't think it's bad. I just don't like it the best.
I like that it's kind of like lower key. It's kind of like... I don't know, more relaxed
it's
than
so
the other
dusty
two.
I
it
remember it being
very
dusty,
like, dusty.
Yeah,
I remember Michael J. Fox being covered in dust while he's being hanged.
Oh boy.
Famous archers.
Robin Hood.
Yep.
Hank
Williams.
I wish. Oh, Howard Hill, I was thinking of.
Howard, that. So that's the video your homework that I made you watch. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that,
guys? 9-minute video.
So this is the guy that apparently did the archery in The Adventures of Robin Hood, the Errol Flynn, like, classic Robin Hood movie.
Archetypical Robin Hood.
And they, you know, special effects back then were basically like, well, we're going to do it for real.
Yep.
And
right. We're going to teach hurt. You like a very specialized skill and hope for the best.
So when they had to do trick shots and stuff, this was the guy they had do trick shots. They had him actually split an arrow. Mm-hmm. But then they also had him do trick shots where they had people, he had to shoot people that were wearing like reinforcements. Shields,
but nothing.
Like stuff under their chest. But it was still like, he's going to have to hit you in the chest. If he hits you in the arm or the face, it'll kill you. But
the face, that's terrifying. And in the video you made
so
me
good
watch, that, mm-hmm. he's so good. What I was really impressed by was the
I'll put links in the show notes, by the way.
The prune on the head. I also think one of
he shot an arrow off a guy's head, and then he put a prune on the guy's head and shot that off.
You know what one I maybe? Oh, no, I can't remember which video this was in, but the one where it's like catch the arrow and send it back. I think that
that's
the other
one. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. One of the damsels in the Howard Hill one.
Yeah, so it's like a 50s? Is it 50s or 60s? I think
50s. It's like late 50s is my best guess. And there's some real bodacious babes, but the way the narrator, whose name is Knox Manning, which is like,
really?
Do you think that's the what they based Rex Manning from Empire Records on? Because that guy was a real Lothario.
I'm not familiar enough with Empire Records.
You didn't watch it every weekend at a sleepover at Alyssa's house?
We talked about it recently. But
really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. We'll talk about
we were talking about movie soundtracks and that.
Oh, that soundtrack is great. Tank Girl is the best. Did he say that too? We agree on that.
This was after Robin Hood, and this was commissioned as a short by Warner Brothers.
Was it the kind of thing they like show in before the movie theater
before
or
in between movies or
in
whatever?
The intermission. You know, movies used to have intermissions.
Think it was an intermission thing.
It's too long. It's 9 minutes.
Yeah. But it was just like, let's get this really good archer and three grade A babes out in a field and
doing tricks, wearing high pants.
Yeah, they're all wearing very high pants. Well, the guy wasn't, Howard Hill.
No, but the babes were.
And Howard Hill is a perfect gentleman, but this guy narrating is
sicko.
Horny as hell.
He's a real sicko. And he like cannot be stopped. If he's not being horny, which is a word I feel too uptight to use, he's being so patronizing. He's like, don't get distracted, ladies.
Yeah.
And it's like, give me a break.
But then at one point, Howard winks at the camera and he's like, hey, Howard,
pay
attention to what you're doing. Right. It's like, you pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, this is about archery.
Horny old creep.
It was so absurd. But one of the women looks just so much like my grandmother.
Oh, really?
I wonder if it was. But
it might have been your grandmother.
She's passed.
Well, she wasn't passed in 1950s.
No, she was a bodacious babe.
Yeah, so maybe she was recruited by Warner Brothers to...
Seems
also,
unlikely,
these women
but...
were like standing so close to the targets, and like, so he shoots an apple and then a prune off a guy's head, and then there's a joke he's gonna shoot a cherry off his head. But I was like, that's not even that big of a joke
because
that's
a prune
like
is
a
like,
little
what?
Smaller
yeah,
than a prune.
A prune is so small, and the guy, once you watch the video, you'll know this too. But the guy is dressed like William Tell. It's a real gag.
Yeah,
he's the only other man in the film.
Yeah, he's got like a.
Pageboy haircut.
Yeah,
is that what you're gonna say?
Yeah, he's got bangs or a fringe, but then also like shoulder
what
length.
Prince Valiant.
Prince Valiant. Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's very weird. But he it's incredible that he shoots this off. But then he's doing other trick shots, and these women are just standing close to the targets, and that's not part of it. It's just like, well,
just
have a beautiful woman on screen
right.
all the time.
Right.
As he like shoots the top off a gourd, and then he shoots inside the gourd.
That was pretty incredible. The gourd business was cool.
Yeah. What about the other video I had you watch? That guy's name was...
Lars Anderson.
Yeah, Lars Anderson. And now this is a modern day Howard Hill in a way.
In a way, don't you think? I have a question for you. And mm-hmm. I guess if the listeners haven't heard or seen, excuse me, if the listeners haven't seen the video, mm-hmm. What I want to express to you is like Lars Anderson is like a real dork. And it seems like Lars Anderson is like an all archery all the time kind of a guy. Like not caught up in appearances,
no, like
has a lot
not.
Of access to bunkers and gymnasiums. Like there was footage of him in a lot of weird cavernous institutional spaces, by which I mean like gymnasiums, like school.
Yeah, it seemed
areas.
Like he had like talked his way into some school gymnasiums on the weekends.
Yeah, and some bunkers. And my question for you, Tom, is like, what do you think it would be like if you had to have a one-on-one dinner with Lars Anderson, the famous archer?
So to explain who this guy is, this is basically like a modern day guy who claims to have, I mean, not claims that he did, like go back in
hundreds
history.
Of years.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years of research and practice.
Research into like old paintings, like medieval and
etchings,
books, scrolls.
What are they called? Books.
And basically, his understanding is a lot of ancient archery techniques have been lost, mm-hmm. and he's bringing them back. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it does make sense that a lot of it is lost is because nowadays the only archery that gets done is target shooting.
Yeah, it's recreational.
Or hunting.
Right.
But in
it's
both
not warfare.
Yeah. And in both instances, you're standing perfectly still.
My favorite part of the video is, of course, when he proves that a quiver is inconvenient if you're moving fast, and there's
and just
one
like
or two
runs
examples
through the woods.
And is like jumping over a log and all his arrows go flying. And yeah. I was like, yes.
Yeah, because they were trying to say like, oh, quivers are a Hollywood invention. And it's like, no, I think it's just when you're target shooting, quivers vary. I mean, and I think both times we've been target shooting, we had like hip quivers.
We had hip quivers.
They were a lot more. And actually, I would have liked to see him in a hip quiver. I think he could have run through
the
woods with
run.
That arrows
Next
falling
time
out.
We do archery, which we haven't done for like 5 to 7 years, we will run really fast and jump a lot with our hip quivers.
Hey, can we take these out to the woods for a minute?
We just have to do around? We have to look for an axe that might still be in the woods, and we got to do it really fast, and we need our hip quivers.
So he got rid of the quivers. He holds all the arrows in his hands, and he can shoot lefty or righty, and he knocks the arrows on the side of his hand, which isn't normally I don't know how I'm trying to say this, but like,
yeah, he could. He could left and right. And he was doing that research too, to be like, sometimes people did it on the left side. Yeah. Sometimes people did it on the right side, but it affects when you have to close your eyes. I do want to note that you're showing off by saying knocks.
Yes. That's means
lingo.
Just kind of load the arrow, put it in the string.
Cause you kind of load it up and you pull it back and you set it on the side and then you aim it and you go bing.
Yeah. For the listener, Christine was pantomiming all of that in a very impressive way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like Lars Anderson herself.
Thank you so much.
But this video is ridiculous because it's just, I mean, it looks like somebody doing like LARPing, mm-hmm. like just kind of running around.
Or almost a parody of LARPing. Like it's that LARPy.
Because he's like showing
and
these
God bless
things,
him.
And it is impressive. Mm-hmm. Like the shots he's making are really impressive.
Do you think he's listening?
If he is, reach out. Don't reach out by putting an arrow through both of our heads,
oh,
please.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
could.
Steve Martin style.
But I'd try to catch it and shoot it back.
Well, that's one of the trick things he does. And, you know, there's a bunch of do not do this at home. Mm-hmm. But he has a guy shoot an arrow, not directly at him,
like
but close
right beside
to
him.
And he catches it, knocks it himself, and shoots it. I don't think he shot it right back at the guy. That would have been fucked up if he just killed that guy. But but he's like doing a lot of like throwing arrows up in the air, catching them, throwing bow, like a lot of impressive things. But also like, what situation would you be in where you threw your bow up in the air and then caught it and then shot.
But he's doing tricks.
Or be hanging upside down from monkey bars and doing trick shots.
My favorite was the roller skates. When he came out on roller skates, I was like, are you even kidding me right now? Lars is maybe more fun than I'm giving him credit for.
I don't know. But also when he's shooting, it doesn't look as cool.
He's not.
Because he's like doing it so fast.
Yeah.
And just kind of like not gracefully.
Like to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He loses the art of archery.
There's one where he's showing that it could be used for close range combat. And it's just him sitting at a table in a high school gym, drinking a can of Coca-Cola. And then he like quickly picks up a bow and shoots a mannequin across the table. I'm like, yeah, I don't think anybody said you can't use it close up.
Yeah, I think it's more like that's not
the most elegant way to do it.
Right. So what do you think he'd be like in a one-to-one dinner?
Very strange. He'd be itching to do some trick shots.
He just want to do tricks. I think he would have a bow with him, no doubt.
Yeah, he'd be like, go under the table and then throw an arrow up onto the table and I'll catch it and I'll shoot the maitre d's hat off.
And then you'd never be able to go to that restaurant again.
I was very upset to I meant to mention this. The top comment on that Howard Hill video was not money and time freedom was the username 4 years ago. Not only was he good up close, but often practiced and killed game at 100 plus yards. He is the man, you know, fine. I have a bow from him. No, not his brother-in-law who copies his and puts his name on it, but the real deal. It's a prized possession. Thanks for inspiring me, Howard. So apparently Howard Hill's brother-in-law.
Really trying to capitalize off the fame of Howard Hill. Do you think Howard Hill still with us? There's no way.
I mean, he was like in his 40s in the 1950s, so.
Yeah, that's pretty unlikely that he's still with us.
I mean, maybe he's alive. He's one of the world's oldest men, but I don't think so.
Feels like we would have heard about it. That's the kind of circuit we also follow. One of the things, speaking of buying bows, one of the things I wanted to just note is that crossbows, which are different than what we're talking about, are like the hottest item in pawn shops near where I'm from. You can't believe how many crossbows are available.
Well, when I was looking up like famous archers, they had, what's his name? Daryl from The Walking Dead, but he uses a crossbow.
That's
like
not
a crossbow
archery.
Crossbow is much closer to a rifle than it is a bow and arrow. I mean, maybe not, but it's just,
it's a different animal thing. Yeah.
I think crossbow people would say the same thing. Like it's, you know, it doesn't mean it's like better or worse. It's just a different thing.
He was born in 1899, Howard Hill.
Oh, so maybe he's alive and 122 years old.
He died in 1975.
He was dead before we were born.
His birthday was 2 weeks ago and we didn't even get him anything. Wow. I'd get him a bow. What would you get him?
I'd get him an arrow.
Well, that's a nice set.
Two quick things I want to mention before we solve a problem here.
Woo! We're going to solve a problem.
I was looking up local like archery stuff. Very, very, very disappointed to learn that the local archery tag place no longer does archery tag.
What do they do now?
Laser tag.
No, I don't want to do laser tag. I want to shoot arrows at my friends.
Yeah,
and have
me
them
too.
Survive, but have them know how good I am.
Well, because they're special arrows that this company makes.
Right, that just do a little ding and it doesn't hurt you, but
it's got like a big nerf thing at the end. Yeah.
I do want to mention you were really good at getting in the general bullseye area really consistently. Mm-hmm.
Bullseye every time.
And you did get him like in really far, so you had to sometimes really leverage.
Yeah,
your body
I had a hard time
out.
Getting him out.
And for me, I was really consistent. I would hit the same part of the target over and over again, but I was like little to the left of the actual bullseye. But I still felt like that was a win. I wasn't missing and I was getting in the same area. I just couldn't adjust.
I was going to brag about like how hard I shot the arrows, but then I realized like I can't brag about how hard I was shooting arrows because the reason why I knew it was hard was because I then couldn't pull them out.
Right, which shows that you didn't have the actual musculature and strength right. to retrieve.
I think it was just I have very long arrows. Arms, so it made it easy to shoot arrows very hard.
But they didn't go through.
No, none of them went through, but everybody was very impressed.
Everyone was like, whoa, who's this ringer? And I was like, that's me.
Then there's this other thing, which also looked pretty cool. It looked cool, but then I was watching a slow motion thing, and I was like, that kind of looks like shit. Mm-hmm. Hoverball targets.
Hoverball targets. Tell me what that even means. Where is that like crypto balls?
No, it kind of looked like when they do the lottery.
Oh, uh-huh. Like
the balls.
Ping pongs in a machine.
Where it's like a reverse static-y. Vacuum. Yeah. It's just making a ball float in the air, and then you hit that with an arrow.
Okay.
But the arrows have like detachable magnetic tips. Like basically all this is engineered to be like for kids, like
kids yeah, like us.
Very, very safe. Actually, it was weird. They had on their website too some like it was like an archery for Christ type thing.
What?
It seemed like it was exactly the same, but geared towards churches. But the way it was geared towards churches were that the scoring was all just like biblical things.
Like so Ecclesiastes 3.5 or 3.5. I don't know how you say it. I don't know why I chose Ecclesiastes either. Weird.
But it just stuck out to me that like hitting the red target was the blood of Christ. And I was like, what? This seems like you're really stretching to...
Freaky deaky. That's weird.
Like, you could have a church event and be like, we have archery. Right, it doesn't have to have
it's biblical timey, scoring. Right, and you don't have to make it so connected to.
Yeah, it was a weird thing, but it looked very cool. I mean, it didn't look that cool because when they shot the arrow, it's hard to explain the arrows, but it had like maybe like a silver dollar sized like flat end, mm-hmm. and that came off magnetically. Mm-hmm. So basically when it hit a target, you could take the arrow would I think just fall off on its own, but the end of it would stick so you can tell where you hit.
Okay.
But that seemed to really fuck up the aerodynamics of it. And the arrow didn't fly right from what I saw.
Well, you know what? Maybe this is our $1 million idea is we can make a New York City based points collectible that isn't associated with the blood of anybody that has aerodynamic arrows, and we can be the instructors and make it fun and make it tag. It actually sounds like too much work.
Yeah, I'm not going to let anybody borrow my arrows. That's what I understand is part of
it.
Yeah.
Did you watch my homework assignment, which was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
No.
I didn't tell
but
you
about
I
it. But I listened to the song
a
lot.
Everything I do it
yeah.
for you. Yeah, I listen to that every day too.
I mean, I've seen Robin Hood Men in Tights about
which is actually,
times.
I doubt it holds up, but it's unforgettable.
All right, let's solve a problem.
Let's solve a problem.
Hello and welcome to Tim and Christine Solve Your Problems. I'm Tim. I'm hold on.
You miss him so much.
Tim, please come back.
I know everybody wants you to come back.
Tom and Christine Solve Your Problems. I'm Tom.
I'm Tim.
Jesus Christ. All right. This person wrote, this is what screwed me up because they wrote, hi, Tom and Christine or Tim or Tim's baby.
Imagine if his baby were here.
Maybe. I think that's the whole idea. Eventually, he's just going to have the baby step in for him. Maybe you're not looking for more problems.
Always.
I'm never looking for more problems. But just in case, here's mine.
I got 99 problems.
You can
personally use
my name or not as you wish. I'll use her name. Her name's Joe. We have a nice upstairs neighbor with whom we enjoy a great mutually beneficial arrangement.
Okay.
When she goes out of town, we water her plants. When we go out of town, she feeds our cat. Mm. Our cat is a lot cuter and fluffier than the plants, so I think it's a fine deal, even if his shit does stink.
Wow, Joe.
Also, we let her keep her bike in our garage, so we're basically Gold Star neighbors.
Sounds like it.
And let me point out, full-time neighbors spelled with a U.
Ooh.
and OU.
This person is Australian.
Well, maybe.
It's a guess.
Anyway,
Joe?
My petty issue is that when she comes back from a trip, she always brings us a gift. I want to get off the gift train mm-hmm. and not have to spend my holiday souvenir shopping, for my neighbor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there a polite way to raise this, or should we just not reciprocate and she can resent us for it in secret? Love the show. Cat tax below. It was a picture of the cat. I don't know why she said
cat tax.
She's
paying a cat tax. It's a toll. It's like a toll. Okay. I think that's like
I thought she meant to say cat pics below, because that's what was below.
I think it's like a cat offering to say, like, you know, thank you for answering my question. Here's a picture of the face. I'd love a picture of the plants too, but you'll have to take a picture when you're in someone else's apartment.
She didn't take a picture of, it looks like a pretty cute cat.
That's a cute cat.
Black and white
cat. Very
restful. Yeah, sleeping, curled up, all cute.
Cozy. Cozy as hell.
What do you think about this? What do you think she should do?
It's that thing where, like, you know, when someone sends you a thank you note and it's so nice, so then you're like, should I send them a thank you note for this nice note? And then it's just like a chain letter at that point, right? It becomes a CVS receipt of gifts. Right. I don't know, because I also think, depending on what kind of holiday you're on, like if you're visiting your family, there should be no expectation of a gift. The gift is this relationship that they've developed of like, yeah. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. But I also think you could just be like, oh, I got you a keychain every time. So you don't have to overthink it. Right. And then it'll fade out. Maybe.
I'm wondering what these souvenirs look
too.
Like and what
and if
because
they're unwanted.
I'm just wondering if it's like, are these the type of souvenirs you can just pick up in the airport,
right?
And it's really
right.
not a big deal,
right.
You're buying somebody
like
a $5 shot glass that says El Paso on it or whatever.
Yeah, if you're in El Paso, for instance.
But even if you're not and they have it.
Yeah, you could just go to like a Goodwill and buy a bunch of stuff yeah. at once from other people's vacations.
I will say that I think she's getting the better end of Joe's getting the better end of the deal.
Yeah, because a cat's
feeding
a little
cat,
tougher than watering the plants.
It's harder to kill plants than it is cats.
And you know it more, right? And you can kind of recover a little different. If you do
harm
to the, I don't know. I've said too much.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If her plants die, this other lady, it's like, oh, that's just kind of shitty. If this lady's cat dies, that's like
No.
A lawsuit.
I think it's serious either way if something dies.
Right.
But I think if like, oh, I'm not going to get home till late. It's going to be hard for me to water the plants tonight. I'll water them in the morning and put them by the sun,
but you can't
nurture
really
them
a
little more, but
cat.
You can't really do that with a cat.
Yeah.
And the cat's doing more than the plants
are doing.
Yeah,
it's taking shits. The plants aren't shitting.
Apparently. Not in the typical way of like shitting.
what do you mean in the...
Photosynthesis.
Yeah, that's not shitting. Photosynthesis isn't... What do you think shitting is?
What do you think photosynthesis is? That's another tongue twister. What do you think, folks?
I definitely think there's not a polite way to raise this.
I think there is. Counterpoint.
Really? Okay.
Disagree.
I mean, I was going to say that I think there is a chance that this neighbor wants off the train, too.
That's exactly right. I think it's like separate from vacation when you're both in the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you both spend a lot of time in the lawn. Maybe they could get into archery. And over a few shared shots of archery.
They can combine their 2 yards.
And I also, this is hard for me because I love like tchotchkes and like little things. So depending on what the items are, but especially if it's something that's like, you know, here's either something of like high value dollars wise or something that you don't want or both. Ugh, how awkward.
Yeah.
And either way, the train, right? So I think you can just say in a sort of neutral way, not when she hands you a gift, because then that kind of feels like you're rejecting the gift, but to be like, I'm about to go away.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, we always buy each other something. Let's just get a drink at the pub, neighbor with a U, when we're back or something like that, to cultivate a shift, but still make sure that it acknowledges that it's not, you know, something.
I mean, I was thinking of this situation where when I went to Bangkok, Thailand this one time, I bought a knife that looked like something the Predator would have. And now I'm thinking, Well, if somebody got me something like that, I'd be very happy. I also got an electrocuting lighter that I don't think like they would be able to sell in America because it hurt like really bad.
An electrocuting what?
Lighter, like a lighter.
Oh, that you can zap people with?
Well,
you can zap yourself with? What's the point of it?
No, I'll tell you what the point is.
Zap your cigars with it?
I used it the way it's supposed to be used exactly once, and it was so satisfying. Where somebody was going to smoke a cigarette, and they were like, does anybody have
a lighter?
I
want you to go on, but I want you to know if you've hurt yourself or someone else, I might need to talk to
you. Oh, no, I didn't hurt myself. But this person was like, does anybody have a lighter? And I was like, yeah, I got a lighter. And it was somebody that, for some reason, did not think, why does Tom have a lighter?
It was someone you know. Smoke. Yeah. It wasn't a stranger. It was someone you wanted to razz.
Well enough. Yeah. And I
have a guess of who it was, but I won't say on air.
I gave them this lighter and held my tongue long enough. And the way the lighter worked was when you sparked it, you made the connection and it zapped you. And like.
So you hand this person the lighter. Yeah. Okay.
And so that's part of the satisfaction that they're doing it to themselves. You're not, you know,
is it
like
an anti-smoking
shooting them
thing?
With a taser?
Is it a smoke-free class of 2000 thing?
It could be. I mean, it was. I remember also distinctly thinking this thing like electrocutes, but also is a working lighter. That seems dangerous.
Yeah, there's sort of things that
because when
real
you get electrocuted, your impulse is to throw this.
Yeah, drop this thing that's on fire. So it's a grenade. You bought a grenade. So Joe, yeah. Is your neighbor buying you weapons?
I mean, if they're buying that kind of stuff, keep
fancy
it up.
Knives.
These
By
are
the
stuff
way,
you can't get
can
anywhere.
Can we just roll back the tape and talk about how excited you were to get a like luxury knife and a self-zapping
It wasn't even
lighter.
A luxury knife. It was so inexpensive.
I don't know what it means. The predator would use
I'll
it.
Show it to you.
Okay.
Before you leave, I'll threaten you with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if this is the last you hear from me, tell my family I
it's
love
got
them.
Two, I'll show it to you. You'll understand
Ladies
once you see it.
Ladies and gentlemen, is exclusionary. What I should say is, folks, if this is the last you hear from me, don't publish my unpublished letters.
All right. I would say for Joe, here's my actual suggestion.
Let's hear it.
Bottle of wine.
Bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And as a like, hey, we've been
as
doing
a
this
thank
cycle.
You,
yeah. Because
I think you should thank the person for taking care of their cat.
Yeah.
But I get that it's like, am I buying this person like magnets and ball openers right. that are just going in the right. trash?
Or to say, like, I notice you keep buying me magnets. And honestly, I have a stainless
I have
steel
a pacemaker
refrigerator.
And it's been hell.
All my floppy disks are erased because these magnets
to
are
say
too
nothing
strong.
Of my VHS and beta collection.
So I can't have any more magnets.
Yeah.
But do you really like magnets or should we just do? And I wonder how often they go away and if there's an imbalance there. So I think that's right. And I think it's maybe like, I'm going to buy you a bottle of wine this time, but we don't have to do this every time.
Yeah.
Because we have this nice neighborly relationship and that's a gift enough for me.
Here's what I think you do. Switch to a bottle of wine. And
make
then
it a self-electrocuting bottle of wine.
Exactly. Once they go to uncork it,
and they die.
It zaps them so good.
No, Joe, don't do it. We don't mean it.
No, switch to wine, and then when it's their turn, try to like refuse.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't.
I like now.
It's
you
my
know
pleasure.
What? You took care of like I'm doing
rascal.
This. You're
do you
doing
think the
that.
Cat's called Rascal?
Rascal.
Maybe the cat's
I thought
called
you were saying Rassel.
Oh. Maybe.
They come up, wrestle them to the floor. Right, that's the answer. If you like the show, find out more at tcgt.com. You can sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/completeguide. Right now, episodes of Theories is what's going on.
What does that mean?
It's a new show. You don't listen to podcasts.
I don't. I don't belong here. I don't know why you asked me to do this.
Weird stuff.
I like weird stuff.
Yeah, I do the show with Laura Anderson, who you might recognize as my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Lars Anderson, the Lars, famous.
Oh my God! Archer. I just, you know what? She does. She.
It's a pseudonym.
She does like to run around on monkey bars a lot.
Go on, I'm so sorry.
Patreon.com/completeguide to get old episodes of Books of the Podcast. Books of the Podcast will be back once Tim's raises child too, but I don't miss him. It's fine.
You miss them so much.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter @completeguide. Follow us on Instagram @TCGTE. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
Hot dog burger.
On Twitter and Instagram. And maybe she'll allow you to follow her. Maybe not. Archery. We should go do archery again.
I totally agree.
Is it COVID archery rules right now?
I think we can do archery? It mask,
we've
right?
never done archery outside, and I feel like it's the natural place to do it.
Done it in like college gyms and that weird, what the heck was that other place? Let's do it. Let's look it up. We'll go on Groupon.com and find something.
We'll find some hot 50s babes with high polyester pants.
I double dare us to wear high polyester pants and see if anybody gets it.
I don't know. Yeah, all right. It's I think probably joke. Nobody's going to get it, but I'm in.
We'll show them the 9-minute video on our phones.
Well, hopefully they'll be like, thank you. That was so enjoyable. I don't even consider it homework, and I wouldn't be mad if it didn't come up later.
That's not my style.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.